Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, the 20th of January, 2023. Welcome back into hour number two of the big show, along with our producer, engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. We welcome you back, Mr. Zommers. Brady Ewing, it's one of these guys that just makes me feel better after I talk to him.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's got a lot to say. Obviously, he has a lot to say about sports, given his history with that, but also just a lot to say about positivity and trying to be your best self.
Right?
That's exactly it. Too.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think that's one of the reasons that you wanted to do this on a biweekly basis, and you hit it on the head once again, Mr. Zommers. Just overall positivity and what you can do when you stay positive and put your mind to something. And I think it is so important to remind our listeners, whether it's the Richland Center area, Wausau, Amory, other places across Wisconsin, if you grew up in a smaller town, you can have big dreams and you can achieve them. And yes, it might not always work out exactly the way that you had thought or hoped, but you can achieve goals no matter where you come from. And don't let anybody tell you you can't. So I think that's a great message. I know what it's like to talk to Brady in person, and so I kind of get that vibe over the air. But, I mean, he's always got a smile and just one of the coolest guys in the world, like you say, very positive and has something to say. So we appreciate Brady coming on. He'll be back in a couple of weeks with more info. We'll see. We'll be getting close to the Super Bowl at that time, so we can give Brady's picks on the Super Bowl and see if his former Jacksonville Jaguars can beat the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. Coming up later on in this hour, another great guest from Richland Center, former state senator, Republican Dale Schultz, who also happens to be my former boss, coming on the show at 9:30 today to talk about a couple of things. First of all, to give us an update, he was at the town hall listening session by his successor, Howard Markline, Republican of the Spring Green area, and also Tony Kurtz, Republican of the, I believe, Waukesha or Wazika area. I'll get that right. That's my bad for not knowing the exact town from Representative Tony Kurtz, but I will get that right. Anyway, Tony Kurtz and Howard Markline were there listening to people in Richland Center. Dale Schultz and his wife Rachel were among them, so he will give us an update. The feel of the room. Always like that. I remember that from years ago. I think back in the late 90s, maybe a 96 Iowa presidential primary when Chris Matthews was on MSNBC, and there was a reporter, and Chris Matthews said on the air, "Give us the feel of the room. What's it feel like in there?" And I thought, that's a great question. You don't hear that too often, right? And it's an important part. What does the room feel like? What's the sense? What's the vibe? So we will ask former Senator Dale Schultz what the vibe was in the room regarding the campus, and also what his view is on the path forward. Can the campus yet be saved? What are his thoughts on that? And we'll also ask him his comments or his thoughts on the Republican this week. Robert Spindell, who sits on the State Election Commission, is in charge of overseeing the Wisconsin's elections, making the comments that as a Republican, he was proud. He used the word proud that 37,000 fewer Black and Hispanics voted in Milwaukee this last election cycle. What does Republican Dale Schultz have to say about that? And the fact that almost nobody in the Republican Party has commented or denounced those comments. We'll ask Dale Schultz at 9:30. In the 10 o'clock hour, we've got Mr. Zommers with his board game of the week, what you guys could do on your weekend with family or friends to keep yourselves occupied. And of course, we'll round out the show with our Mimosa Friday, what we're thankful for, inviting your calls. In fact, if you want to call us now, that's fine. If you say, I'm not going to be around next hour, give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Give us a call, and you're like, oh, I wish you'd say it again. I haven't got my pen. All right, go get your pen. I'm going to read the weather, and we'll give you the number again. Weather forecasts around the state of Wisconsin, around our specific listening areas. First of all, WXCE, beautiful Amory, Lake Air Radio. Not a bad weekend at all to start things off. Today, cloudy skies, a high of 24. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 13. And Saturday, cloudy skies and a high of 25. A chance for folks to dig out around the Amory area. Over in Wausau, the central part of the state, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. Again, mostly cloudy, a high of 26 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 13. And Saturday, cloudy skies and a high of 27. And down in southwest Driftless region, WRCE, news in the center. From beautiful Richland Center, my hometown. Expect mostly cloudy skies today, a high of 29. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 18. And Saturday, cloudy skies and a high of 29 degrees in the RC for this weekend. The number, you got your pen? Got your paper? Number to give us a call and to talk to us. Tell us what you're thankful for. Tell us your thoughts on the news of the day, what your weekend plans are. We take all callers. Area code 715. Did I tell you it's free, by the way? Doesn't cost you a thing. It's a toll-free number. 715, the area code, 388-7155. 715-388-7155. Give us a ring-a-ling. Tell us what you're grateful for this week. Weigh in. Let us know. We'll come back after this break to tell you what you need to know for a Friday and the start of your work week. Talk about a little storm going on. President Biden actually makes some great news and get something actual tangible done on reforming immigration. And also mental health. We talked about it before. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, again, getting things done and helping people with mental illness. We'll come back and tell you more about that. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Time of the temperature sign is now 9:15. Well, Mr. Roboto, nicely done. 1980 what, Aaron, do you think that is?
Or it is Funky Town.
Oh, Funky Town. Oh, I thought it was Mr. Roboto. Oh, geez.
And it is 1980.
Oh, 1980. All right. I was a little... That sounds a lot like Mr. Roboto, but a little Funky Town. It is funky. We're going to be talking about a little funkiness, actually. Nicely done. Is that Mr. Roboto?
Yes, I'm gonna move
cue that
a
up. Bit. Yeah, cue that up. We'll have that during the next segment. Very well done. We're gonna be talking about something a little funky. George Santos, the newly minted congressman from New York, continues to astound. We're gonna talk about that a little bit. New information on George Santos this morning. But first, a little bit more of a serious bent on the news. Here's what you need to know on the 20th of January. 2023. A large swath of the Northeast in the United States is gearing up for several days of heavy snow, freezing rain, or a mix of both. Basically what went through here a couple of days ago. That could create treacherous road conditions. About 7 million people are in the storm's path under winter weather alerts early this morning as the first round of snow began in Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine. The forecast has prompted some officials to urge residents to prepare for the storm and be ready for potentially hectic commutes. Weather warnings in the region show some cities could pick up between 6 and 9 inches of snow. This comes after the storm already proved hazardous in parts of the Midwest. Tell us about it, right? Dozens of car crashes were reported in Minnesota and western Wisconsin this week. Immigration. President Joe Biden yesterday made his first public remarks since batches of classified documents from his time as vice president were found in his private D.C. office and Wilmington, Delaware home. Quote, "I think you're going to find there's nothing there. I have no regrets," Biden said about not revealing earlier that the documents had been discovered. Special Counsel Robert Hur is investigating how the president and his team handled the Obama-era classified documents that were recently found in his private possession. The first documents were found on November 2nd, days before the midterm elections, but not publicly revealed until last week when CBS News first reported their existence. The White House has pledged full cooperation with the investigation, but is largely downplaying the political effects of the probe. Now to that immigration story I thought I was going to do there with the Biden administration. Also yesterday at the same time unveiled a new program that allowed private citizen groups to sponsor refugees from around the world. Under the program, groups of at least five individuals can apply to sponsor refugees to live in the U.S. and help them acclimate to life in the country with the help of a consortium of nonprofit resettlement organizations. The program, called the Welcome Corps, was billed by Secretary of State Antony Blinken as, quote, the boldest innovation in refugee resettlement in four decades, unquote. The sponsor groups must raise a minimum of $2,275 per refugee, and those funds will be provided, well, will provide initial support for expenses like apartment security deposits, clothing, and furniture. All refugees being supported through the program will be cleared through the same extensive security vetting required for all refugees admitted to the U.S. That, according to a senior State Department official. Mental health. We talked about this on this show a couple days ago. Thanks to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, who authored and helped got the funding for this bill, the new 988 National Mental Health Crisis Line has seen a significant rise in call volume since its transition 6 months ago from the former 1-800-273-TALK number. More than 2 million calls. I'll say it again. More than 2 million calls, texts, and chats to 988 have been routed to a response center, with the majority being answered in less than a minute. The new three-digit number is intended to be an easy one to remember, similar to how people can dial 911 for medical emergencies. Quote, people are getting help more quickly, said Hannah Wilkowski, the chief advocacy officer for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. The 988 Lifeline is just one tool in the ongoing effort to improve our nation's mental health for those who are feeling that they're approaching a crisis situation or are in a crisis situation. If you're feeling stressed out, feel like you don't have anyone to talk to, feel like there's no hope, God forbid, thinking of some kind of self-harm and you don't have anyone to talk to, don't feel you have anyone to talk to, you do. There is help. Pick up your phone now. Dial 988. That's it. Just 988. The National Mental Health Crisis Hotline, they will help you get through whatever you're doing. They'll find you places to go in your local community to get help. There are people who care. 988. And thank you to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin for getting this program in place and getting the funding for it. Actor Alec Baldwin, who fatally shot a cinematographer on the set of the movie Rust in 2021 and the film's Armoir, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, will each be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter, according to prosecutors yesterday. The family of Helena Hutchins, who is the was the film's director of photography, thanked prosecutors for their decision. Quote, it's a comfort to the family that in New Mexico, no one is above the law, the family said in a statement. Baldwin has maintained he was not aware the gun he used during the rehearsal contained a live round and said, quote, he did not pull the trigger, unquote. Around our listening area, a couple of big announcements. First of all, if you get over to the Green Bay area, maybe you listen to us in Wausau Bull Falls Radio, and you travel frequently on Highway 29, and you go east, maybe you head to Shawano, and then you go into Green Bay once in a while. Good news. You can listen to the Civic Media Radio Network now on in Green Bay. Yes, the network is going into Green Bay. Appleton, a new station there as well. We continue to progress and move the signals around the state of Wisconsin. We appreciate everyone listening. Exciting news as well if you're a small business owner and you want to get some funding for your business to get your word out, to get advertising out, but you don't know how to do it. We have you covered. Next Thursday, the 26th of January, starting at 9 a.m., Civic Media giving away $1 million of advertising.
$1 million.
Yes, $1 million indeed. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. No catch, no gimmick. You don't have to buy anything. We won't come back. There's no like one of these things where you do stuff online that says, well, if you don't cancel after 30 days, we'll start charging you. No, nothing like that. This is our owners, Sage Weil and Mike Crute, saying, you know what? we started Civic Media because we believe in local community. We're trying to use our network to restore coverage of local news and sports and bring the community together. How better to do that than to help our small businesses, maybe even save a few small businesses? So we're going to give away $1 million in advertising revenue next week on Thursday at 9 a.m. Dial us up. We'll walk you through how to do it from 8:30 to 9. And then at 9 o'clock, you're going to go to civicmedia.us/million. Civic, C-I-V-I-C, like in your civics class. Civic Media, all one word, .us/million. You can go to civicmedia.us right now and read all about it if you want. Visit our website, civicmedia.us. Read exactly how this happens. But we'll walk you through it right here on this program next Thursday. Oh, and by the way, it's going to ask you a couple of questions on the form. One of them is, where did you hear about this? We'd appreciate it, kindly, if you mention us. Just choose the Todd Allball Show when it asks how you heard about this. Then it's going to ask for your name, your address, a contact number, how many employees you have, and roughly how much you make. Not how much you make, but what your annual revenue is. And you say, why do they want to know that information? Well, it's because we want to divide these awards between small, medium, and large businesses. All right? So if you're a mom and pop, as it's just you, maybe you got two or three other people. Maybe you got 2,000 people. Maybe you got 500. We'll divide these awards between a small, medium, and large business. And look at that. Mr. Zomer is putting it up on the screen if you're watching this on Facebook and Twitter. Our great VP sales director, Roxanne Charles, put this together. 5 days, 23 hours, 34 minutes, and 42 seconds. There's a countdown clock. I feel like the ball is going to drop. I feel like I'm in Times Square.
And there's multiple ways to sign up for a reminder or add it to your calendar.
Right? Look at that.
There's frequently asked questions, which I believe Todd has covered all of these. Yeah, definitely.
All right. We try to answer questions here. But yeah, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the $1 million giveaway. It'll give you all this information. And then starting, as we said, at 9 a.m. next Thursday, you can sign your business up. The minimum amount, we're not nickel and diamond here. All right? Some places might say, well, yeah, we'll give you $50. No. The minimum amount, you guys, is $5,000. That is the minimum that you can win, all the way up to $20,000. And when we reach $1 million, it's done. That might happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That might happen at 3 o'clock. Might happen at 9 o'clock at the night. But once the $1 million is gone, it's gone. So get in early and get in often. No, just once. But get in early. Starting at 9 a.m. next week on the 26th. 9:26 is the time right now. Coming up at the bottom of the hour after our break, State Senator, former State Senator, Republican Dale Schultz from Richland Center, talking about the campus and what's going on there. But before we hit that mark, I want to touch on something just real quick. And that is a story that's broken over the last day here. George Santos, the new congressman from New York, who has lied about seemingly everything, from his resume to where he went to school, having two knee replacement surgeries from playing volleyball in college. He didn't even play volleyball in college. He's lied about nearly everything. Well, now there's a new story, according to the Washington, make it the New York Post. U.S. Representative George Santos reportedly dressed as a drag queen named Kitara while living in Brazil more than a decade ago, as details of the congressman's convoluted identity continue to emerge. Santos reportedly has gone by a number of aliases in his truth-challenged past, appears to be depicted in a photo in a drag costume in 2008, according to an article from Substack, The Handbasket, by reporter Marissa Cabas.
Can we just make him retire or, I guess, step down from the position already.
There's calls in Congress, both now Democrats and Republicans. And again, nothing wrong with being a drag queen, mind you. God love you if you're a drag queen. And there's a lot of great ones out there,
yeah.
Right? Nothing. This is not a story about anti-drag queens. This is just simply saying this guy has not told anything about what his past really is. And he's continuing to use these other names. Looking into, according to the Post, during his younger years, Santos went by Eula Richard. It just goes on and on. I mean, there's nothing real about this guy. It is Funky Town, exactly. We're going to get a little funky with State Senator Dale Schultz, former State Senator from Richland Center, Republican, talk a little bit about the campus and about voter suppression. Stay with us.
Soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving.
Welcome back to the Tom Bolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9:33, the time, the temperature sign. Glad to be joined once again by former state senator, Republican of Richland Center, Dale Schultz. Good morning, Dale. How are you today?
I am fantastic, to quote my favorite radio talk show host.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Mike Crute is out here quoting. I heard you got a little swimming in this morning. Is that true?
Well, actually, it wasn't true.
Oh, okay. I didn't make it.
Well, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens. What can I say?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're a busy guy. You're helping out. And wanted to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, of course. But wanted to have you on the show today to talk a little bit about the latest town hall listening session by your successor, State Senator Howard Markline, and also Representative Tony Kurtz were in town at the City Hall earlier this week to have a listening session predominantly about the announced pending closure of the UW-Richland campus. You and your wife, Rachel, former superintendent of public schools in Richland Center, were both in attendance. And first of all, Dale, just give us a sense, a read of the room. You've held a lot of these yourself over your career in public office. You've attended a lot. How did this one stack up? What was the feel of the room like this week?
Well, let me just begin by saying it was surreal. And I also want to hasten to mention that I never held a listening session where I didn't allow a degree of dialogue.
Because that's
how you're truly able to fine-tune your ears and hear exactly what people are saying rather than just pretending that you're listening to people by letting them talk. Mm. And so, I mean, I think that's important, and that disappointed me. But, you know, look, the world changes and people have busy schedules, and I don't want to be overly critical of that. But let me just tell you, as I stood there in the room, there were a lot of people in there I didn't know, particularly young people. But I was overwhelmed by the number of faces that I knew from the greater Richland County area. Mm. People who I have battled with, fought with, fought alongside of, discussed with, worked with, and arrived at solutions to problems with. And you know what? I've been there before. I had that sense of deja vu. I remember when our beloved County Judge Ed Lineweber ran for the Court of Appeals from, you know, one of the smallest counties in the district, one of the poorest counties in the state. And the Republicans and the Democrats came together because we knew he was a great man and a great judge. And we felt it was important, and we thought he would be a wonderful reflection on our county. Well, it didn't turn into a victory, but it turned into a great lesson for me about the power of people who work towards solutions, who, yes, they may disagree with one another, sometimes a lot, but they know when they need to get together. And I saw on the tape on the internet that a fellow, the attorney in town, Anderson, who, you know, is pretty far to the right, you know, he's, I would say, pretty close to MAGA. Maybe he embraces it, maybe he doesn't, but that's what a lot of people saw him as. At the end of his comments saying, look, here in town, this isn't a partisan issue, the saving of the campus. It's important to everybody. And I certainly saw people in the room who stood up, who I know are AOC supporters. And you know, that was beautiful. I mean, right. How did we ever lose that in our society? And it was surreal for me to see it magically begin to appear there in that room.
I too watched on YouTube, courtesy of Nova Video and Ben Kelch at Michelin Center. Watched the entire thing. I know Joanne Krulatz, our news director from WRCO, WRCE, was there as well. But I wanted to look at the video, so that's why I watched the videotape of it. You could go to YouTube and type in Nova Video, and I think it's Mark Line Kurtz listening session or town hall, something like that. It'll pop up. But I watched the whole thing. And that too, Dale, is my takeaway. You know, I get back to Richland Center a lot to see my mom and other people back there, and still spend a lot of time in Richland County in Southwest Wisconsin. And as you well know, you kind of get to know a town, particularly in our former profession, politics and government. You kind of know who's going to take a Republican yard sign and who's going to put up a Democratic yard sign. And once in a while, there'll be some crossover, but not too often. As I drive through Richland Center and Richland County, I see Save Our Campus yard signs in some people's yards who I also saw Trump and Tim Michaels and Howard Markline yard signs. And I also see them in places that had Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers and Joe Biden. And I think it's awesome to see this issue of saving the campus transcend politics, and everybody can agree on this one thing.
It's what makes this area so very special, and it's why I'm so proud to live here, why I was so proud to represent it, and why it was so important to me to be a good reflection of the community I came from. This is a hardscrabble place. You know, the early pioneers who came here sought out the rich land, mm-hmm. and had to stay away from certain areas of the area to farm because it just wasn't that productive. And, you know, throughout the years, there have been struggles. There are still struggles. I looked at the county board members, particularly who were in the room, who have done their homework, were articulating the concerns of the community. I've watched other members of the county board and city council and townships express, the importance of the campus, and it just makes my breath swell to see these people carrying on a tradition, and it reminds me a lot, Todd, frankly, of your grandmother, somebody who got a higher, got an education by candlelight.
It's true.
In an attic in Muscadet, and right. If people don't know that story, we're going to have to campaign to get a WRCO to run it one more time, because
Ron,
who we are.
Ron Fruit, the former owner and still a host on WRCO, was very gracious, and he ran that interview with my grandmother over a course of a couple of days. I know a lot of people heard it, and I don't want to speak for her, but I knew her well enough and spent enough time with her that I know she'd be extraordinarily proud of people like Sean Murphy Lopez and so many others, Lynn Gentis, John Poole, Kathy Fry. The list goes on and on, and the friends of the campus who are doing great work, doing God's work, and yourself. And I think that's what I want to get to, is that you come from a very traditional, we've talked about this show before, when people like Don Schneider, who very many people will not know who that means. He was a former longtime Senate chief clerk, and he always protected and talked about the institution of not just the state Senate, but our institutions of government. And there are certain things that you simply don't do because you want the reputation of the institution to stay intact so people can believe in it. And one of those kind of longstanding traditions is once you leave public office, there is at least a year or so that you don't go out and criticize the person who came after you, whether they beat you or whether they just took your office after you retired, which is the case, your case. And you've been pretty quiet about Howard Markline and really stayed out of, other than going around the state talking about redistricting with a former Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat. You haven't said much. And on this issue, you have. And I know a lot of people thank you for that and respect you for that, myself included. You brought with you a list of 10 different questions. I actually have a copy of it here in front of me for both Howard Markline, state senator, and for Tony Kurtz. Do you want to talk about a couple of these? Because they're pointed. They get right to the bone.
Well, not everybody in town has the time to go to a specific listening session at a given time and can't afford to maybe take an hour off and wait in line to talk. So, I mean, it was something that my wife and I didn't mind doing, walking around, talking to our friends and neighbors, and just sort of seeing where their head was at. And people said, well, I got a question for those guys. So I'd write it down, I thought, I'm going to get you an answer.
And that's what a legislator is supposed to do, by the way. I mean, that's what you spent 30-plus years doing, listening to people and getting answers. So I think that's interesting. You're kind of doing the job of the state senator still, even in retirement.
Well, you know, look, I still believe that, you know, you've got to make way for the next generation. And I think after 8 years, I decided it was time for me to get involved in local politics again and help out people who are working so very hard for this community. But, you know, none of these questions were personal attacks. They were just simply very pointed questions. We've given you, a great privilege. We've, paying you full time and giving you expense money, a big office. Well, what are you doing for us? You know,
right.
and on so many issues, people just frankly want to know, where's the bacon? Where's the beef? They want to know.
Right.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. Your job is to go there to explain peers and needs and to as vigorously as possible represent people so that we have the resources here for our local officials to do what needs to be done.
So I want to make it clear, these were not specific questions that you, Dale Schultz, were asking Senator Mark Lyon and Representative Kurtz. These are questions that people in the Richland Center community had, and you're simply being a conveyor of those.
That's the way, I think this is true. I won't tell you that I didn't have some of the same questions and there. And I frankly didn't write down who everybody was that said it, and I regretted that afterwards because I thought, now what did he say? But I figured, what the heck? If they wrote back with written answers and they got published, or you talked about them on the radio or WRCO ran them, people would find out and that would work.
I want to go over. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's it.
I just want to go over a couple of these where, well, we have like 3 minutes here before the break, and then we'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more. But one of these was where and when, one of these questions that you submitted to State Senator Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz at that listening session this week on the Richland campus closure. Here's number one. Where and when was there consultation with local stakeholders regarding the UW-Richland campus closure? This is an important one, Dale, because I know in talking to, I couldn't get through to Interim Chancellor Ivetovich at UW-Platteville. I got her spokesperson. That's as far as I got. But I've also talked to Mayor Todd Copperall and Sean Murphy Lopez, the Vice Chair of the Richland County Board, and Chairman Marty Brewer. And there's been very little, if any, communication with local stakeholders. And now that the plan is written, and apparently I haven't been able to get my hands on an exact copy. I understand that it was released a couple of days ago to a couple of members of the press, this final kind of plan from UW-Platteville. And I get now that there's a plan basically done, now they're saying they're going to go back and talk to local people about what to do. This is just unbelievable to me.
Well, we wonder why there's cynicism about government and, why people think things are rigged and nobody's listening to them or cares about them. I mean, this is a perfect example. And let's be clear. I'm sure for the president of the university who, ran a major law firm in this state, you had the power to, by decree, decide how things are going to be and then just do them. But I would submit that Don Snyder understood institutions, and our university is a great and grand institution that every person in this state once upon a time felt very strongly about and took great pride in. It's one of the great land-grant institutions that traces its history back, I think almost 150 years to the days of Abraham Lincoln. And when the Republicans fostered the land grant system as a way to bring knowledge to people in, particularly in the rural parts of the country at that time, so that we could move forward and prosper. There was a strong belief in education. But I would say this, Todd, great institutions like the university don't impose solutions. They sit down with the community and they say, what do you need? How can we work together to deliver something? And that didn't happen here. Right. And that's why I think so many people are so passionate and so frustrated. And you know what? You don't have to be on the right or the left to have the kind of feelings that people have here in town. You just have to be a human being. And I think that's what's being said. And I think people, frankly, think that they're being deceived. And that's really sad in a world where politics is degenerated down into stoking fears and grievances and getting people to be angry at one another. What we're looking for in town here is solutions. And we're so grateful that we have local leadership that's looking for solutions, and people are standing up and being our voices and trying to solicit what we need from the university system and the legislature.
Stand by, Dale. Going to talk more with you after the break. You're listening to the Tom Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Hall Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Time at the temperature sign is 9:50. Looks like a great day across southwest, central, and western Wisconsin as far as roads go. Finally, the snow has cleared out, moved east, and looks like mostly cloudy skies, highs in the mid to upper 20s across most of our listening area. Our guest this hour, half hour, former state senator, Republican of Richland Center, Dale Schultz, joins us from Richland Center talking about this campus listening forum. Held by current state senator, Republican Howard Markline, and current state representative Tony Kurtz, Republican as well, about the pending closure, the announcement by President Jay Rothman of the UW system and directing UW Platteville to close the campus at Richland Center. Dale, there was a story, an editorial, actually, in the Valley Sentinel newspaper out of Spring Green. I'm not sure if you've read it, but it's outstanding. It takes no prisoners. It's entitled, UW-Richland Will Not Be Saved Outside the Courtroom. Action is Needed Now. And we only have about 7 minutes left. I got several things to go through. But here's the point, and you touched on this in the last segment, saying that, you know, President Rothman apparently is just kind of decreeing things, waving his magic wand. I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney myself. I know you're not. But this editorial, it appears someone on the editorial board is either an attorney or certainly knows an attorney, because they looked into this in this editorial in the Valley Sentinel, from last week, it clearly says that according to the way that the system is set up, the president only is empowered to carry out the will and the directive of the Board of Regents. That it's actually the chancellors that have the power to close specific campuses like this. So one of the things that I think that a lot of people, and you correct me right or wrong because you're still living in the community, I think people are just annoyed and ticked off at the lack of transparency and truthfulness and answers from the UW system and President Rothman.
Well, and I think it's fair to say the chancellor at Platteville that held sway over the UW-Baraboo as well as UW-Richland. People, Todd, are starting to figure out that they're going to be next. Fair play in government is critically important to maintain trust as we reach toward solutions. And when people sense that there isn't fair play, they get angry. And I think, I haven't read the editorial, that's what I'm getting out of your comments, that they're incensed that there isn't transparency and fairness here. And I think more and more people are going to be getting involved. I was over in Sauk County yesterday and talking to some officials over there who are now starting to figure out that they're next in line, and they're pretty upset.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even saying it quietly anymore. State Senator Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz said it on WRCO's Ron Fruit's morning show, saying that they don't think that this is going to be the end of it. The other 2-year and 4-year. They made 4-year campuses, could be on the chopping block. And when you look at the statistics, who has lost the most amount of enrollment of the 4 years besides Superior? Next in line, UW-Platteville. So if folks in Southwest Wisconsin think this is going to end at Richland Center, I think they're sorely mistaken.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And it would be a great loss for the region. But, you know... as I mentioned earlier about the land-grant institutions being created by Republicans, there was a time when we cared about education. And part of what I got from folks in town as I pulled those questions together was, what are our representatives prepared to do to support public education at all levels and educational opportunity at all levels? You know, whether you're a homeschooler, whether you're a Christian school person or a parochial school person, whether you're in the public schools and you know, the technical colleges and university systems, and they want to know before the hammer comes down, and they're expecting to see leadership.
One of those things, and again, kind of asking for shorter answers because our time is starting to run out, Dale, but one of the questions that you had on your sheet that you handed to Mark Line and Kurtz, how will you use your powerful positions to prioritize funding for our campus and community aids? You were a member of the Joint Finance Committee. Also, your former and late colleague, State Representative Cheryl Albers, Republican of Sauk County, was also on the Joint Finance Committee. You guys brought home a lot of bacon, and you were only on the committee. Howard Markline is the chairman of the committee. I want to clarify something for our listeners. Right or wrong, does Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz, who sits on the committee, do they have the ability to put a line item in the biennial budget at the Joint Finance to restore funding for the UW Richland campus, yes or no?
Absolutely, yes.
That's simple, right? So why is it Howard Markline sits there, well, you know, it's a done deal, there's really nothing more I can do. That's just not accurate. It's not accurate.
Well, when those guys send out the press releases and always put the line in there about the powerful Joint Finance Committee, they're not kidding. It's true. And I guess I'm as perplexed as anybody around here. There were many times when Cheryl Albers, Dick Kruhl, and I combined to bring back millions of dollars in separate bills, earmarks, or grants to this community. I know it can be done because I've been a part of it. And I want to see some evidence like everybody here in town. And that's why that question was there, because I heard it in a number of iterations, and that was the best I could do to sort of sum it up and give them a fair opportunity to say, look, here's what we're going to do, and here's the plan. They're the leaders. That's what we elected them for, to lead.
I'm going to have you back, Dale. I want two 30-second answers, if I could. First of all, there's going to be another town hall for the local community. Representative Kurtz has said he will try to be there. It's on January 26th, next Thursday, at 6:30 p.m. at the Pippin Conference Center on campus. The public is welcome. 30 seconds. What can people do next in the community besides attend this town hall?
Well, I think what they can do is talk to those people who are sort of leading the charge locally here. You mentioned Sean Murphy-Lopez and Linda Gentis, and there are so many others that are doing a great job. They can contact them and say, I'm prepared to work. What's the plan? And then they can attend, and they can make up their own mind. And pay attention, for heaven's sakes. Democracy is hard work. And you know what? Let's be proud of our democracy and let's move beyond some of the things which are so very frustrating and embarrassing that we see, such as Mr. Spindell deciding that people shouldn't have a right to vote.
Thank you. I want to get your comments quickly. Spindell, a Republican who sits on the Election Commission, said this week, quote, Republicans can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee casting 37,000 less votes than they cast in the 2018 election, with a major reduction happening in the overwhelming Black and Hispanic areas. Your comments in 30 seconds.
It's shameful. It's embarrassing. And I think we all better work to change this, because one day it could come to us. I think, you know, most people know that rural areas have been voting Republican. What would happen and what would we say if suddenly a Democratic person said, look how we managed to suppress the votes in rural areas? We'd be outraged, and rightfully so. And I think it's important for us to remember, as people of goodwill and in the spirit of George Washington, we have to join those other people and say they have a right to vote too.
Dale, thank you very much. Former State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican Richland Center, we thank you. Stay tuned. Next hour is next on Civic Media Radio Network.